Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Al Kapanim, welcome back to, for those of you in Yeshiva, it's back to Nuzman. Okay, we're holding here in the Piska Nun Beis, in which again, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and for those of you who are looking in Yankov, it's Piska Nun Beis. Tanya, Amar Yehuda, so we're talking over here, we're being Oisik in the Ptir of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in Moshe Rabbeinu's we've seen his last days of Leikos Einov and being Paisei Apsiachas and all of that. And now we're talking about the Misa itself. Tanya, Omer Behuda, Il Mole Mikra Kosov. If it wouldn't say in the Pasagi, Efshel Omroi, we couldn't possibly say what it's going to say. Now, this actually is very unclear as to what it's referring to. The Gemara is going to say a few things in this Piska, and it's not so clear which one is this thing that's impossible in Molem Mikraim Reim. But, Heicha Moshe Meis, where did Moshe die? Bechalkos or Ruven? Moshe died in Ruven's Chelik. Dechsiv vayal Moshe ma'avras moya v'lahar nevoi, unavoi bechalkos or Ruven kaima. Dechsiv ubnei Ruven bonu es cheshboim, v'esel olei, v'es kiyosayim, v'es nevoi, v'es bal ma'oin. So those are all in Reuven's chelik. Heichan Moshe kavur. So you have to remember, just let's get the geography down, Pat. Moshe Rabbeinu not going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is Eva Yadin. Eva Yadin had Reuven, God, and Chatzi Shevet of Nasha. So the place where he actually died belongs. Nevoi belongs to Reuven. Heichan Moshe kavur. Where's Moshe buried? Bechelkas of God, the Sivaya Rishis Loi Kisham Chelkas Mechaykik Safon. It says that the reason why God wanted this land, or he was attracted to this land, because Moshe Rabbeinu is buried over there. So we Chelkas of Ruvan Chelkas of God, Kama Avar Bamilin. It's a distance of 4 milin between one place and the other. You know, from the Vo until the Chelik of God is 4 milin. Ois na'ab milin mi'alichai. So who carried him in those 4 milin? So melamed shei Moshe muto b'kamfei shechina. Moshe was laying in the kamfei shechina. Malachi Asheris oimim tzitzkas Hashem osu mishpatim Yisrael. Malachi Asheris was saying tzitzkas Hashem osu mishpatim Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amar, Rav Amar Miyokim Li Mirei Mitzatzim Poli Oven. That was his hesped. Shmuel Amar Mika Chochem Ideh Peshe Dova. Reb Yirchon Amar Vachochem Ayin Timotze Ve'ezim Okam Bina. That's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu was saying. And then Reb Nachman Amar Vayomas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. Smalyan Omer. Smalyan is the name of a Tana, Vai Meis Shom Moshe Safarabi Yisrael. So this is the end of the Piska. Now it's very unclear what exactly over here is impossible. You know, Ilmolei Kos of Oimroi, we couldn't say it. What are we referring to over here? The only thing in this piece that would seem, I guess, strange, over the top, would be the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried him personally to 4 milim in the Kamfei Shechina. That would be the thing that's kind of the strangest thing, but there's no pasuk for that. There's the pasuk, what we have clearly from the Pesukim is that there was quite a distance between the Makom Misa to the Makom Kvura. That's a pasuk, and it's hard to say that without the pasuk, you wouldn't say it. Why is it so over the top that you wouldn't say it? I don't know. The other part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried him in Kamfei Shechina for, that's a Maimon Chazal. There's no pasuk like that anywhere. There's no more attempt to bring a pasuk. If we're talking about the hesped, what the Malachim said, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so first of all, there's certainly no Mefurish Pasik, and also there's nothing strange about it. I mean, this is very typical. So very, very hard to understand. It's quite difficult to understand what exactly is bothered this Chazal over here so terribly. The Mashal says that the fact that the Pasuk tells us his Misa and Kvura were not together. Normally, the halacha is that you're not supposed to make a big hefsik between Misa and Kvura. And therefore, the fact that there was a Misa and the Kvura so far, it's not so much the Kvod of Moshe Rabbeinu. One would have expected the Kvod of Moshe Rabbeinu would be that he'd be buried where he died, or he would die where he's meant to be buried. And the reason for it was to mechap on this, mechap on that. That maybe could fit the bill. But it's also strange because, you know, the type of things, the Molech Kosev Oimroi, we couldn't say it. Talk about, like, when you speak about the Hakshama, things of that nature. This is something where, okay, one would expect Moshe Rabbeinu to Nifta, so on and so forth. There's nothing here that seems beyond the pale of understanding. But that's that is what we have over here. Let's take a look a little bit at the morale over here. Not a lot, but whatever he's masbe. The Hecha Moshe cover. Pirish. So the morale is going to explain what what exactly is the point over here. Shkein Royer Shatia Misa Vakvura. So Moral seems to be saying, unless there's a problem with the gifts here, it's also, he says, the reason is because it's not ro'ui that the Misa and the Kvura should be in the same place. Now, what the Maral is saying is, when we speak about a person being nifta and then being buried, so Be'emes, we think of one thing only. We think of Misa, person died, that's the event. The Kvur is kind of, listen, you have to do something with the body, I guess we'll bury it. And the Kvur doesn't seem to be to us anything other than a result of the Misa. Since we have a nifta over here, we've got to do something with the body, and kvura is what to do with the body. That seems to us the flow of it. It's not something that is, he says it, that misa and kvura are two separate things, and that is an inyan. In other words, misa is the siluk from this world. Misa describes primarily the fact that the neshama is no longer, the nefesh is no longer active in this world. The kvura denotes the point that is still left in this world. In other words, even after a tzaddik is nistalik, there's something left here. And adrabah, this is kilu the part of the tzaddik that still is shaykh to this world and poil this world. I believe there's a Joshua Saran that speaks about the inyan of being mispal and kibbet tzaddikim is because there's some element of ashros ashchina wherever the tzaddik is buried. In other words, there's some positive ruch disgved. The fact that it's referred to as a geniza. A geniza is not getting rid of something. It's like when we secret something away, We put it away to be watched over something. That's not a disposal. It means it's not in sight, but it's waiting and under the it's waiting to be taken back. So the geniza in this world is the nekuda where the tzaddik's darga is here, waiting to come back again. It's negela mashal for the aron that was nignas. So when we say the aron was nignas, means it's awaiting becoming reconstituted. We have the etzem luz and so on. So the Maral says Misa and Kvura are two separate things, and they should have been two separate places. So maybe I understand his pshat in the Gemara is that they were very close to each other. Also hard to understand. The Gemara says there was four milim. and was a different shevet. I don't know what exactly the point, how exactly the Gemara. It's a mystery to me. Well, Kapanim, his focal point of the Gemara is the issue that Gemara is grappling with is the difference between where the Misa is and where the Gniz and where the Kvur is. That seems to be so. The direction of some Mefarshim is that it's too far. His direction is maybe it's not far enough, maybe it should be distinct, and so on. That's one point the Ral says. The next point. V'heichem Moshe Kavu, Pirish, Mipnei Ke'en, sorry, U'malach HaShor Soi Oimrin. So now we have the Hesped, different Hespedim that was said about Moshe Rabbeinu Siluk. Now, let's understand a little bit about this point of this Hespedim that was said, this Psukim. We use the idea that a maspid just lays on as thick as possible. Somebody says a hespid, you expect him to be as elaborate as can be and touch on all the wonderful milas and the kudas of the person. I remember once in the yeshiva, there was a saftan. He was notorious. He was an American. He was notorious for saying extraordinary long hespedim. And Rav Chaim Shlevitz was deaf and very impatient person by nature. So he sat through the ordeal of this person's hesped. He had to, because this person was a Mechovedic person. And Rav Chaim would usually be lost in thought or whatever it is, but he sat through it. Kitza, after the hesped, the Rav Chaim went downstairs. After the hesped, this visiting Rosh Hashiva came to speak to Rav Chaim, and he told Rav Chaim that I didn't even manage to say half of what should have been said. So Rav Chaim told him, if so, you could have stopped much earlier. Like, it's one thing if you manage to get everything out, so okay, we'll take it. But if you didn't anything out, so you could have stopped a half hour earlier, would have been fine. Like upon him, we're used to the idea of a hesped, you know, you try to say as many shvachim on the person as you can. Over here, this type of inyan, the idea is to hit two things. To try to hit the most plemiistic in a kuda, what is this person? And secondly, it can also vary between the person saying the hesped. In other words, a Talmud being maspid as Rav speaks about the Divrei Torah. A child being maspid, a father speaks about something else. This type of thing, like where Chazal say, Malachim said one hesped, and Akash Baruch said another hesped, and so on. There are two points that are going to be dominant over here. One is, it's going to have to be like sort of a nekuda that one can argue goes to the heart of the matter, sort of touches on a very, very interesting nekuda. Secondly, it also will be the nekuda that affects the person who's, the person saying, the person who's giving the hesped is giving it from his vantage point. So, malach shasayimim, v'malachim oyim me'id na tzitkas mashayin al-shalom, sha'osem Hashem yisbarach v'im Yisrael. Zot tzitkas Hashem, osem mishpatav v'im Yisrael. So malachim are being made a Moshe Rabbeinu's tzitkis. Now I want to explain in a minute. Malachim, the bria of malachim is midas hadin. They were created on the second day, which is shayach to midas hadin. They are those, like it says by Eov, the malachim was sitting and they were sitting in judgment. There's Yiminim, Masmeilim, the Satan is Malach. Malachim are Midas Adin for many reasons. They represent the perfection that's expected in the Bria without the Midas Arachmim that goes beyond that. Malachim are the system. And systems are notorious for being midas hadin. The muscle. In the good old days when you had human beings checking the muscle passport or whatever it is, So he would look at it. If the name was off by one letter, he would say it's not such a big deal. You know, I, Y, same thing. And okay, it's fine. He'd wave you through. A machine, you know, for everyone who's learned the hard way, that if you type in a website with one letter changed or one dot missing, you end up in a phishing site usually. That's the bedarach chal, the minig amakim, that you walk into somebody else's, and then Google helpfully asks you, maybe I can introduce you to this site or that site or the other site. The machines don't tolerate any error whatsoever. That's midas hadin. So the bria of malachim is midas hadin, and they can speak of the tzidkus and the mishpat in absolute ways. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us the Satan, tell me, did you find anyone as big tzaddik as Eov? He wasn't teasing the Satan. He wasn't trying to get the Satan in a bad mood. He wanted that Eov Sitkis should be so strong that by an impersonal calculating Midas Hadin, it's still the same. That was the tachlis of that. And that's why he asked the Sutton. Sutton is the Malach who's Mekatrik, and that's where it goes. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told Klal Yisrael, you know, after the Chet Egel, I'm sending a Malach with you, he basically said, you know, a Malach doesn't deal easily with missteps. So you better be careful. There's not going to be a second chance with the Malach. So Malachim say Tzidkes Hashem, also Shalom Yisrael. They say, okay, Klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's called Tzidkes, Klap Yisrael is called Mishpatam. That's what Malachim can say.
So, Rebbe?
Yeah.
What do we do with Yerachmiel, the Malach? Isn't there a Malach of, I think Rashi says Malach Era.
There's Michal, well, Michal is the Malach of Klal Yisrael, Yerachmiel is obviously Malach Rachmim. But again, these are all very defined. When we talk, Lamashal, on Yom Kippur, we speak about Yud Gimel. In Parash Kisisa, where you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to send a Malach with you, and Leisa, and Lepeshachem, and whereas a Kadosh Baruch Hu has Yud Gimel Midas, Yud Gimel Midas are a type of Midas that they appeal to beyond the letter of the law. So even Midas Rachim, there's a certain, you know, it's just like, let's say you have in the school rules written that we allow two or three tests that didn't take, or two or three tests you didn't pass. That's a type of quarter that's written into the Midas Adin. But once you go past that, it's a two exams or three exams, and you've exceeded it. It has no ability to override something because that's not its nature. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Imim Miyokim LeMireim. Neged Yisrael shayet svichem loy lachzir on the mutav. Mi kechon v'der pesh is a moish ha-mat zirat shpok shayet svichem loy lachzir on the mutav. Now, the difference, let's go back to the difference between Midas Adin and Midas Rachmin, or what we're talking about. Let's take an example. We have a school. School has certain standards that it demands. And in order to get in, you have to pass, you have to get at least an 85 on the entrance exam. In order to graduate, you need to get this, this, and this. Now, let's say, so I'm running the school. Let's say somebody comes to me and he says, and he fails. So there's really no mockum for Midas Rachmim as head of the school. There's no mockum. This is the school. These are the rules. And you failed, and that's it. So there's no appeal be'etzem mitzad the school to Midas Rachmim. On the other hand, let's say you have a father. So you have a type of father that just wants his kid to get away with murder. Like, don't take the test, and I'll beg and plea. I'll tell the teachers, you didn't feel well, you this, that. The other thing, you won't take the test. So that's not a good parent. So a good parent runs the kid through a similar schedule. I'm going to give you a mock test. I'm going to do this, that, that. The difference is, if you fail the test, I'm going to rethink of how to have you study differently, give you a different type of test, explain it differently, so that you can pass it. When a father is working with his child, he doesn't expect him to get a free ride. but he's going to keep working with him until he's matzliach, because my matara, this relationship, is atzlacha. If I'm running the school, and the kids are, if I'm running a school and a kid is failing or whatever it is, or he doesn't get in, I don't have any matara past that. I don't have a matara to have this kid come to school if he doesn't pass for the semester. If he'll figure out how to do it, then he'll take the test again, he'll do it, he'll get in. There's no, that's it. It stops at the midas adin. Whereas the father with the child, his matara is the child should succeed. He doesn't want him to succeed by, you know, avoiding the system, because that's not real success. But he will keep on, he will keep on working with him until, in fact, he actually is matzliach. So the, what HaKadosh Malachim just said, Tzidkas Hashem, Asa Meshalt Yisrael, all the boxes check off on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the boxes of Kal Yisrael. That's Kal Yisrael said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Miyokum li imereim, Negi Yisrael Shere Tzichel Lachzir Lemutav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to work with the people that are not doing well. It's just like the mid of tshuva stems from the rotzen of the person matzliach. So if I'm having entrance exams for my university, for my business, whatever it is, if people fail, they fail. I have no reason to give makeup exams because, you know, I don't want someone at the second best. But let's say I have an interest in this person. So then the mahalach of tshuva starts. If the world would be impersonal and it's just like, yeah, if you do good, you succeed. If you don't do well, you don't. Then there'd be no, then there would be no makom for tshuva. The makom for tshuva starts with the fact that Rebbeinu Shlom wants the people to be good, wants the world to succeed and to flourish, and therefore we find ways to do it. So his shvach Moshe was, he's able to deal with those people that are floundering, and be masim to mutav. Michoch miyadei pesha, ze Moshe shei meratza Kadosh Baruch Hu b'shvil Yisrael b'esap shara. So Moshe Rabbeinu was able in a shas kas to work out a chibur. Moshe is the Yochid in Bina. Now let's understand why exactly Moshe is the Yochid in Bina. In order, Bina is a Mida which starts with a sheirish and brings out all the branches of that sheirish. For instance, let's apply Bina to something I'm familiar with. A physicist or some sort of theoretical scientist discovers some fascinating law of nature that we haven't been aware of. So his job lies in the discovery, noticing it, trying to prove it, trying to disprove it, maybe figure out what causes it, and so on. That's one world. There's a second world that says, if this is true, then let's see what comes out of it. What things, how can we harness it and make it do all sorts of things? The person, it's sort of a nexus between the pure concept, pure otherworldly concept, to the needs and realities. You could have a person can design an extraordinary light bulb, but if he's not good at thinking what it's useful for, then all it will be is an exotic light bulb. When they came out with lasers, they quipped that a laser is a solution looking for a problem. In other words, it was a fascinating observation about light, coherent light, vibrating in a certain way, and it's wonderful, Valdic. And what other than shining on the wall, what other things can you do with it? So, well, we found a lot of good solutions. But Tachlis, Bina is the process of transferring raw chachma, pristine chachma, into inyanim that are shayach to this world. And that's an extraordinary nexus. If the person, l'mashal, is very savvy about what customers want, but is not quite clear about what phenomena he's dealing with, his solutions are not going to, I mean, he's going to have a hard time finding solutions because he doesn't know where it's coming from. So he knows about a laser that it's a very colorful light, sometimes hot, sometimes this, sometimes that. So, okay, he can come up with some things, but because he doesn't fundamentally understand what it is, it's not going anywhere. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique because he was Ish Alekim. Mechetzev Alamala Alekim, Mechetzemata Ish. That means he himself was at, his Metzias was the crossroads where Inyanim Lamala fed into Lamata. So Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Dvar Hashem in the highest way that a person could possibly hear and relate to it. So that's one end of it. The other end of it is, he was the man in Kal Yisrael. And b'meila, that's called Bina. V'eze mokim Bina she'ena Bina oid boi l'macha mises. Moshe koye miyuchad b'zeh. So Moshe Rabbeinu is miyuchad in Bina. So that's another hesped on it. Finally, last one. V'yomas safer rabbi Yisrael. Dova ze oid yisrael akoyl. Mashakosav Moshe sefer Torah shle Yisrael. The fact that he wrote the Sefer Torah, wrote Sefer Torah for Israel. Because echad mechachomi bala hoisif, lemar miyokel mireyim adrigash Moshe mitzad Yisrael, umisha ama umike chacham miyadeh peshdava zeratza kashbrochum Yisrael, v'huaya k'mayim tzoyim kashbrochum Yisrael, it's his hasaga, which is much higher than just that some chibur. So the Safar Rabba means that his metzias is the culminates in the heftza of Torah. Safar Rabba means he created a sefer for Kal Yisrael. It was because of Moshe Rabbeinu that we were given the sefer, and b'meila that became our ruchnistik and metzias. We have a ruchnistik metzias in Kal Yisrael. B'chol ze kashak hashbroch b'atzer kavas Moshe, hashbroch mashmi hesper Moshe ganker umach Yisrael yud beiz mil. So the moral adds some sort of point as to why Akash Baruch Hu said a hesped by him alongside everything else. So he says, because if Moshe Rabbeinu was misasig with the kvur of Moshe Rabbeinu, Akash Baruch Hu was misasig with Moshe Rabbeinu means that the misas of Moshe is a phenomenon that's shayach to some sort of inyanim elokim. Normally, Mises is tuma, it's a richuk, and so on and so forth. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was in sasik with it, it shows that adrabe, there's something. So that's why the hesped means HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel is making a statement. Look, this is the etzem etzias of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, we'll hold it here.
Can I ask you quickly on Moshe and Bina?
Huh?
Moshe and Bina, if he was Miyuchet Bina, why was he Purish Mina Isha? Wouldn't that be the ultimate Bina?
So he needed, so first of all, the Bina we're talking about is the Dvar Hashem, to make it something practical. He told other people how to be Misnahig, so he always needed to be ready to hear Dvar Hashem, and then to teach it to Kali Yisrael. Any activity that would shter one or the other, he couldn't do. So being that living with a woman would shter the Kesher Dvar Hashem, would shter getting Torah, he wasn't allowed to do it. So it's like a person who's a translator, he can't go to sleep unless both of them are sleeping. In other words, so long as there might be a message that needs to be translated, he needs to be ready for it. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's diagram. Okay, good Shabbos. Kol Tepeh.